Hitting the ground shuffling, Joe Biden sees to it that thousands of Keystone Pipeline American workers lose their jobs. But it's okay, because our globalist friends are bringing on an army of robots so that lots of Americans will never have to work again. Building back better, baby. Plus, never-before-seen footage of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. And finally, from the It Could Have Been Worse file, RTV producer Walter Matt spent his year from hell learning how to walk again. Don't lose hope, friends. Team Biden is jumping the shark, and 2021 is going to be a great year for Christian counter-revolution. All that and more tonight from the Editor's Desk. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper. So, here's the latest from the cuckoo's nest. Dr. Anthony Fauci wants us all to stop wearing a mask and start wearing two masks.
White House advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci said today wearing two masks at once likely does provide more protection.
You got your second mask yet?
Oh, no, I got it.
Around here in the Remnant office, I'd prefer if you too, Walter, we need to have two masks, I think, moving forward just to keep everybody safe. Because, you know, as we all know, without the mask, we're all going to die.
Luke, help me take this mask off.
But you'll die.
I know. People say that, you know, wearing those masks is going to keep others safe, so we need to do it for the sake of the other. And Bill Gates tells us that we can save the whole world if we have smaller families and stop having all those kids, you know, so just abort the little ones and save the planet. Everything is about saving someone else, of course, with these people, because they're so huge. They're so gigantic, big-hearted people with big minds and big visions. Just want to save people, that's all. It's all about keeping us safe. So please, friends, just shut up. You know, lose your job. Don't go to church. Close that favorite little restaurant of yours down the street, and your kids, they don't need that school. Close the school down. We're going to save grandma here. After all, this virus is nothing to fool around with. It has a 99.5% recovery rate. That's it. There's a big chance, you know, you could get this thing and die. So double down on the mask and lose your job. Dang it. That's their attitude. But friends, we know the truth. This has nothing to do with keeping anyone safe. You know that by now, right? Remember the 15 days and all that nonsense? It has nothing to do with your health. This is the revolution's political theater. The fourth industrial revolution, to be exact. And if you don't know what that is, take the dang mask off and Google it. You don't need to take my word for any of this stuff. They're very out in the open with what this is all about. And it's not as if Team Biden somehow failed to anticipate that closing the Keystone XL pipeline, for example, is going to cost thousands of American jobs. You see, that's the whole point here, friends. I've been saying this for a year. We need to wake up.
On Joe Biden's first day in office, he killed thousands of American jobs. Joe Biden killed hundreds of Wisconsin jobs.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill those old normal jobs. They're trying to wreck the world's economy, kill the jobs, get out of work, and force everyone now to accept the globalist alternatives, the green jobs, the tech jobs that pay the same rate, by the way, the same salary to everyone all across the board. You see, this is what they mean by the inclusive global reset. Are you not sick and tired of the word inclusive? Oh, my gosh. I think Francis, if he couldn't use the word inclusive, he'd probably have very much less to say, because he uses it for everything. Everything's about being inclusive. And this is what it's all about. You see, we're all going to go to work for the globalists now. And there's going to be no more rich people and no more poor people. Just utopia. You see? That's what they got in mind. Now, of course, Fidel Castro tried this down in Cuba, by the way, which is why Southwest Florida is full of Cuban refugees who risked everything, including their lives, to get away from that hell on earth that was Castro's Great Reset. We're going to do this all again, only now it's going to be global. You think this is about Democrat versus Republican politics, friends? That's just part of the theater. That's part of the game. They're all in on it together. And again, don't take my word for any of this, please. I'm begging you, don't take my word for it. Don't say Michael Matt said this about the Great Reset. Michael Matt said this about Klaus Schwab. Just Google it. The World Economic Forum is meeting right now, this week. So we have no excuse. A great time to check it out. It's all over the internet, all over YouTube. You can learn exactly what's going on here. Just Google Davos Agenda to find out why you're really wearing that mask, too.
This is the Davos Daily, your go-to source for the biggest highlights of the Davos agenda. From the top.
When public health issues become politically charged, like wearing a mask or not becomes a political statement, you cannot imagine how destructive that is to any unified public health message.
I completely agree. Wearing a mask is not political. It's responsible. Also, I break out all the time and a mask covers it. It's a win-win.
Oh, yeah. She's so happy. It's just so cute. It's wonderful what they're doing, isn't it? A big, big, happy world without borders, no private property, smart cities, smart cars. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And to keep us safe, they're also going to take away our car. Isn't that great? No more cars in the future.
In 10 years after its first launch, it'll probably be so much better than people. Most of us will be afraid to drive. You know why? Because autonomous vehicles will start talking to each other. They will miss each other by 1 centimeter. And we as humans will become our worst enemies, because we're going to be the threat to our lives. The machines are going to be safe. And pretty soon after that, humans will be disallowed from driving.
And that makes me mad, because one of the things I love to do, you know, is drive. I love driving cars. Yeah. And that's also a pretty independent thing. You get in your car, you can go anywhere you want in the great American roadway. Well, that's got to go. We got to get rid of the cars. And you say, well, that's never going to happen. Come on, America's never going to get rid of their cars. Gavin Newsom disagrees.
That by 2035, in the next 15 years, we will eliminate in the state of California the sales of internal combustion engines. We will move forward to green and decarbonize our vehicle fleet here in the state of California.
So, friends, while you're busy doubling down on your mask just to keep others safe, they're getting ready to go all full-on Blade Runner on you. Is that okay with you? Are you good with this?
In 2016, Sophia the robot was unveiled and went viral. Now the company behind her has a new vision: to mass produce thousands of robots by the end of 2021.
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi there. Everything is going extremely well.
Do you like talking with me?
Yes. Talking to people is my primary function.
Hanson Robotics develops extremely lifelike robots for human-robot interactions. We're designing these robots to serve in healthcare, therapy, education, and customer service applications. So the robots are designed to look very human-like, like Sophia.
I'm already very interested in design, technology, and the environment.
Never gonna happen. Not here, not to us. No way. I wonder if that's true. Hey Siri, what is artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence is intelligence demonstrated by machines. Unlike the natural intelligence displayed by humans and animals, which involves consciousness and emotionality. Shall I continue?
No, please don't. God help us. Please don't. We need to get rid of these things, you know? Because there you have it, friends. You see what I mean? We're already halfway there. We know what the problem is. So why are we carrying these things around? I think it's time to make some serious adjustments. And Elon Musk now, he wants to implant one of these guys in your head.
In August 2020, entrepreneur Elon Musk gave a demo of his new company, Neuralink. Connected to our brains with tiny wires, this microchip is synced with AI, enabling humans to control anything from prosthetic limbs to computer games. This working proof of concept has already been fitted into people. It has the potential to completely transform the way we interact online.
So there's actually a lot of functions that this device could do related to monitoring your health and warning you about a possible heart attack or stroke or other damage, as well as sort of convenience features like playing music. It could do a lot. It's sort of like if your phone went at your brain or something.
That's enough of that, man. I can't take it, you know? Can you believe this guy? It really is. And they're so proud of themselves, these little geeks with the pocket protectors from high school, you know, ruling the world. And here they go. They're so proud of themselves.
We are just now mass producing Sophia. This is Sophia number 24. And many of my previous robots were hand built. However, now we have begun scaling the manufacturing of Sophia so we can make hundreds and into thousands of units.
Oh, gee, I just can't wait. Isn't it going to be great? And by the way, guess who's all in on this artificial intelligence?
La inteligencia artificial está en la raíz del cambio de época que estamos viviendo. La robótica puede hacer posible un mundo mejor si va unida al bien común.
You're starting to get the picture, friends? You know, shut down the world economy. Lose all the jobs, build back better, with global corporations enforcing the globalist agenda in every country in the world. You see, they're more powerful than governments. Don't believe me? Just ask Donald Trump. These corporations are how it's going to happen. And in order for these corporations to take off like they're going to do and to enforce, to exercise this level of control over our lives, we're going to have to build back better. We're going to have to lose our jobs, and they're going to start calling all the shots. And pretty soon, we won't have to go to work at all anymore.
At Amazon Fulfillment Centers, robots transport items to humans, who then pack them to be delivered. Amazon believes that within 10 years, they will not need a single human to fulfill an order.
So I'm sorry if it seems conspiratorial and tinfoil hat-ish of me, but that dehumanizing little mask you're wearing, it's really helping. It's helping to literally erase you. You're ceasing to be human, and that's what they want. That's the thing they got going next, transhumanism. You see, first they replace God with science, and now they want to replace his children with machines. And for added security, these folks are all going to also going to create a digital ID for you just to keep us safe.
Provide the mass unemployed with a universal basic income credited onto the Rockefeller and Microsoft-backed digital IDs that are implanted into our hands.
You can create the digital ID today. It's a natural evolution of the way that we're going to use technology in any event to transact daily life. And this COVID crisis gives an additional reason for doing that.
And I repeat, you think this is about politics as usual? If we vote right in 2024, everything's going to be fine? Well, maybe. I'm going to stay engaged in 2024, but we got work to do right now. And this is why Biden is moving so... I shouldn't say Joe Biden. He doesn't know what he's doing. Team Biden is moving so quickly.
We expect these additional 200 million doses to be delivered this summer. And some of it will come as early, begin to come in early summer, but by the midsummer, that this vaccine will be there. And the order... And that increases the total vaccine order in the United States by 50%. From 400 million order to 600 million. This is enough vaccine to fully vaccinate 300 Americans by end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. But we want to make, look, that's, I want to repeat, it'll be enough to fully vaccinate 300 Americans.
Scary? No, it's madness. It's the thing that always happens when men try to become gods. Which is what they're doing. And we've seen all this before. Remember old Caligula making his horse into a senator in old Rome, pagan Rome? The emperors of Rome really thought they were gods before they were done. And look how that world order ended up. It collapsed beneath the weight of its own madness, just like ours is going to. You see, the cross replaced the Roman eagle, king of the skies, and messenger of the highest gods. And from their catacombs, persecuted Christians laid the footings for the greatest civilization in history, friends. The cross, the implement of execution, rose out from the ruins and from the dust of mighty pagan Rome and took over. And that's the way this is going to end, too. You see, I'm a child of the Cold War, so I can remember very vividly, clearly, crouching beneath my desk in nuclear war drills in Catholic grade school 150 years ago. There were Soviets everywhere. There were Soviets under the bed. There were Soviets up in the skies. The Russians, the Russians, the Russians. They were everywhere, and they were invincible. But people woke up then, and people are going to wake up now. In fact, people already are.
Democrat California Governor Gavin Newsom announcing plans to lift regional stay-at-home orders. But for more than 50 restaurants and wineries suing over the state's restrictions, well, the damage has already been done.
Early in 2020, the bishops here in Minnesota defied the governor and opened the churches. I think you'll remember this, because there were a few brave priests that were saying, whether you open them or not, we're in the parking lots, we're not going to stop having Mass and sacraments.
There is no weather, and there is no force or principality in heaven and on earth that can stop us from offering the sacrifice of the Mass.
And the bishops responded to that. Those churches here in Minnesota, every one of them, they're still open. Why? Because bullies get their way only if we remain silent, only if we continue to be afraid of the outcome, afraid of what's going to happen if we stand up and speak out. You want to stop them dead in their tracks, friends? Whether you're Protestant, Jewish, whatever, help us wake the Catholic Church. You know, with its infrastructure throughout the entire world, if the church wakes up tomorrow, the globalists are done tomorrow. And they know it, which is one of the reasons, one of their first orders of business was to seduce our Pope, Pope Francis, into joining their cause. And he willingly complied.
You were in South Carolina recently, yes. And a Catholic priest did not give you communion. He said it was because of your position on abortion. Were you offended by that?
That's a private matter. I'm not going to talk about that. But it's not a position that I've found anywhere else, including from the Holy Father who gives me communion.
You want to stop these guys? Pray for the conversion of Pope Francis. He's key to all of this. Petition your bishops. Tell them to open the churches right now, friends. Completely, with no restrictions. This is ridiculous. Strip clubs are open. Walmart's open. Everything else is open. But your churches are closed or they're at 25%. And you're just going to sit back and take that? And everybody's seeing it. The Jewish Canadian commentator, Ezra Levant, puts it this way. Please, bishops of America, listen up.
The story of Christianity for centuries was that of a persecuted faith. You're a Christian, you maybe know some of that. And then the first time some jumped up little twerp says, you can't have your church. You say, okay, yeah, what am I going to do? The mayor said so. I guess I'd better shut down this church after 2,020 years. I guess I'd better just, you know, it's over. I mean, that's pitiful.
And I would say this to the bishops of America, Your Excellencies, we know that not every one of you is an apostate or a coward. There's been a lot of pressure. Collegiality is a powerful thing. The Vatican is coming down hard. We get it. But if you will take your stand now, they're coming after you just like they're coming after us, and you know it. So if you will take your stand, you'll have no greater defenders than us, 80 million patriots who will stand with you. Not with guns, this is not a shooting war, but with God.
As far as how Christian patriots do this work of defending our Constitution, defending our country, I want to point once again to members of law enforcement, and I want to thank them for being here today. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to all of you guys. Thank you for your protection and keeping everybody safe.
Your Excellencies, you need to act. You need to lead right now. Because if you don't, they're going to crush you. They're going to crush the church, and they're going to crush Christians throughout the entire world. And you know what? I think many of you know it already, because some of you are speaking up. On Inauguration Day, of all days now, just a few weeks ago, the head of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, out of nowhere, broke ranks, finally, cut the chains of collegiality, finally. Archbishop Jose Gomez wrote an open letter. We talked about this in our last program, and I'll say it again. He writes an open letter against the policies of President now, Joe Biden, which would, according to the head of the American Catholic Bishops Conference, which would advance, quote, advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the areas of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender, end quote. That a boy, Your Excellency. Thank you. God bless you. That's what's needed. That and a whole lot more. And for us, on the part of the lay people out here, We're not going to give up. We can't give up on the church. Christ's church is the means through which God will save the world. To give up on the church is to give up on him. That's how this is going to happen. That's why we've stayed in the church, despite all of the problems, all of the scandals, sex abuse, everything else, because the church is divine and human. The human element is a cesspool right now. The divine element is pure, and it offers us our protection, our only protection, the only hope of the world. So do not give up on the American bishops, because half of them, or even more, have lost the faith. There are many still who have the faith, and here's an example. God bless this man. Here's an example of one who has kept the faith and who is leading the charge now against this evil regime.
We live in times when it can seem that the evil one is succeeding in his program of lies and death. In our own nation, the federal government wants to codify as law the totally unjust decision of the Supreme Court, which made legal abortion on demand, and to impose upon schools the teaching of the iniquitous gender theory. At the same time, it threatens to deny the freedom of religion, the freedom of citizens to follow God's plan for the world and for man, inscribed in nature itself and written upon every human heart.
Thank God for this man. You know, we can't lose hope in this, friends. I know lots of people say he should have done this, he should have done that, he should have gone faster, he should have sent more, he's too little, too late, whatever. We gotta take what we have, consider what we have. That's a courageous statement now. And that's what's standing between us and persecution. Now, persecution, if it comes, it comes. But none of us are eager for it. Like St. Thomas More said, this is the stuff, not the stuff of which martyrs are made. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. And if the bishops wake up in time, it may not. You see, because everything from abortion to the Great Reset to this nightmare, this futuristic nightmare of AI, artificial intelligence, is a direct result, a consequence of our world's rebellion against Almighty God. It's simple as that, friends. You don't have to be a holy Joe or a pious guy to realize that. This is the void. They threw God out. We told God to go to hell. And you know what? Apparently he said, okay, guys, you're on your own. We are his chastisement, or we are becoming his chastisement, especially under somebody like Joe Biden and company. We are the chastisement, which is why we're now creating not heaven on earth, but hell on earth, a hell that millions of people are waking up to right now, and they don't want any part of it, friends, and that's where the hope comes in. Where do you think these 80 million people came from? Because they looked at the hell on earth that these globalists are trying to create. And they jumped up and said no. They stood up and said no. So what do we do? Forget Joe Biden. He has no power over us unless we stay in fear, unless we're afraid to speak. They're all bullies, as I said before. They're not creative. They don't have any ideas. All they know how to do is tear down. You see, and we have so much more than that. You know, we've been telling the stories of the heroes of our faith, the heroes of history, who defeated little stains like Joe Biden. We've been telling their stories to our children for years, for decades, friends, for a reason. My office wall is lined, and probably yours is too, lined with paintings of these heroes. The Vandeans, the Cristeros, the martyrs of the Colosseum, tell their stories. Remind everyone about these people who beat bigger and badder villains than Biden and Pelosi any day. And so now we have a chance. Now we have this chance to stand with those heroes. And what are we going to do? Back down because of pathetic little fools like Biden and Pelosi? I don't think so. What are you going to do, Joe? Kill all of us? Because for every one of us you take down, 10,000 will rise up to take our place. And we know that we have the chance and the honor to stand with God and to change history. And that's what we're going to do. Because quite frankly, you are literally scaring the hell out of us. It's not so difficult to pray anymore, is it, friends? We're seeing the writing on the wall. It's time to turn back to God. We know what's right. We still believe. And for the first time, we have crystal clear clarity and who the bad guys are, who the good guys are, where the battle lines are, finally. And we're ready to fight. That's what I said last time. This is not a moment of defeat. This is a moment of victory. Like we never would have had 4 years ago, I don't think, because people hadn't woken up yet. We need to praise God for this awakening. We are the woke ones, woke to the thing that's going to change the world, that's going to change history, turning back to Almighty God. I understand. I know it's frightening. I've got seven children, most of or half of whom are still in homeschool. It's pretty scary. I get it. I'm not trying to ignore or downplay what their agenda is. And we've all been through a lot. And 2020, quite frankly, was a year from hell for all of us. For me, and I'll close on this, for me, 2020 began back in January, 1 year ago, when my eldest son was in a terrible accident and lost his leg. For a time, I thought he was going to lose his life too. And there I am alone in an airport waiting for a flight, you know, and I lost it, friends. I lost it like I've never lost it before. It was one of the darkest moments of my life. And then I get a text from my son, who's 20 years old at the time, 21 years old, his shattered body lying in a hospital bed, 1,000 miles away. And he begged me to go on with the plan, to go to Europe, to do the job that we had set out to do together, to stand with our European allies against apostasy in the Catholic Church in Germany. You know, that was the mission that weekend. And so I went to Munich, where out of the blue, I received an invitation to go to a local hotel and visit a man who I'd never met and who I didn't know it at the time was about to emerge in 2020, the year from hell. He was about to emerge as a living, breathing proof that God has not abandoned us. Never saw that coming, that meeting, before I left the country that day, that weekend. I'm not going to go into the details of my first meeting with Archbishop Carla Maria Vigano, but I will share this little video clip for how my 2020, my year from hell, began at the feet of this holy priest, whose first words to me were, "What is your son's name? Because I want to offer Mass for him." So why am I bringing this up now, a year later? It's because I want to share the reason. I've got a lot of hope right now, friends, you know, and I had no idea that darkest moment in my life, that before the year was out, you know, as I knelt at the feet of this bishop for his blessing, I had no idea that that man was about to rouse us all, you know, inspire us all, fill us all with hope, you know. He was about to push back against this rising New World Order that we're all tooth and nail fighting right now. He saw it coming. And I believe God sent him to us for a reason. He suddenly said, if no one else is going to speak up, I'm going to. And look what happened because he did. You know, because he did speak up. Because he had the courage. Because in the spirit of St. John Fisher before him, he did the right thing. And he would go on to resist our globalist Pope himself finally with such courage and conviction that the rulers of the world now took notice.
The President of the United States retweeted a letter written by the Pope's former nuncio to the United States, Carlo Maria Vigano, famous for his criticisms of the Pope.
The President of the United States pointed to the most outspoken critic of Pope Francis, and he told the whole world to listen to him.
Donald Trump says it's an honor to have received this message from Archbishop Vigano, adding that he hopes everyone, religious or not, reads it.
Don't you see what's going on here, friends? God has not abandoned us. God is calling us. He's calling his children back to him. And the mad and bloodthirsty world has made it so much easier for us to answer that call. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up. They are not all powerful. And I know, as I said earlier, is anyone else finding it easier to pray right now? Easier maybe than ever before? I am. Because 2020 helped us all to return our trust, not to the temporary occupants of the White House, friends, but to return our trust to God more than ever before. Because that's the answer. That's truly, truly the answer. Everything else is just part of the process of getting to this point of realizing that God is the answer. You see? And they spent 500 years trying to drive that out of our society, drive that out of our lives, that he is the answer. 500 years warring against his church for a reason. Because if we continue to believe in him, we become invincible before them. If we continue to trust in him, the guns and swords fall from their hands. They can't touch us. Because we're all going to be dead in 50 years anyway. It's just a question of what we do with the time that we've been given. Wouldn't you rather go down swinging? Rosary in one hand, sword in the other? I certainly would. What's happening to us right now could very well be the means of our salvation, because we will never take the faith for granted when we see what happens to the world without God. I don't know, Trump lost the White House, and that was tough. But nothing really changes for us. We just got to get up and keep walking. And some of us even had to learn to walk again in the middle of 2020, the year from hell.
Walter Matt, exactly 1 year after losing his leg, back to the skinny skis. Thought maybe he'd never ski again. And it's his first day on skis. And how does it feel, man?
Pretty good. Out of shape.
A little out of shape, yeah. What, so did you ever think you'd be back on skis?
No, I never.
All right, ski out of here. We'll see you going away. I'm going to check your form this time just to make sure it's perfect.
So I just want to share that with you. I know lots of you have been praying for me, for my son especially, for our family, wondering how he is a year later. And we're doing great. Thanks be to God, and thanks to you for your prayers. As a matter of fact, my son's right here standing behind his camera. I won't point it to him because you'll get embarrassed. But he's here. He's doing fine. And that's the real beauty, friends, of the family coming together. The family that follows Jesus Christ, staying together no matter what happens. And that's the message we got to get out, that no matter what happens, we can take it. We can deal with it. We can keep getting up. We need to keep the faith in Christ, and then there's nothing on earth that they can do to us. And when we get kicked down to our knees sometimes, yeah, I think God will carry us, just as he's carried my family over a really tough year. He will carry us so long as we stand with him. We're not losing the war. We've just finally begun to really and truly fight for the faith. Joe Biden and a whole army of those stupid little robots can't do anything to stop us from doing that. And to you, Mr. Gates and Mr. Biden, the children of the sons and daughters of Christendom will live to see God damn your new world order to hell. We'll see to that ourselves. I promise you that. Chin up, friends. God bless you. And I'll see you on the battlefield.